You're listening to the On the NBA Beat podcast, a show packed with nuanced perspectives on the league's most important stories.
Portland has three timeouts left. The Lakers have two. Bryant to shot!
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Jordan. Oh! A spectacular move by Michael Jordan!
And now, your hosts, Lauren Lee Chen, and the twins, Aaron and Joshua Fishman.
Hey listeners, this is Aaron Fishman. Ashish Mathur is today's guest. He's a Chicago-based writer covering the Bulls and Bears for the Outside Pitch Sports Network. In college, Ashish wrote a thesis on mindful meditation and continues to practice it to this day. We'll talk with him about how the Bulls have started this season with their very new-look roster and what we can expect moving forward from them. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, Ashish. It's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
We have a lot to talk about. For the Bulls, there was so much player movement in the offseason. And, of course, they got Rondo and Wade, two guys that have won at least a championship in the NBA. They lost a former MVP in Derrick Rose. Noah was Defensive Player of the Year. Gasol had won championships in the NBA. But they're looking pretty good, somewhat inconsistent at times, but those two guys have that championship experience, as I mentioned. You don't want to overstate the importance of it, but in what ways can you see that experience manifested on and off the court?
Well, to start with the roster turnover was needed in every facet. You know, Derek and Joakim did a lot for this organization and this city, but with Jimmy sort of establishing himself as the new alpha on the team, I think it was time for those two to go. And I think Gar Foreman, John Paxson, they did a pretty good job. Getting Rondo and Wade here was huge, just for the locker room. The locker room was toxic, full of turmoil last year. Covered their games a couple times last year, and that was one of the most dysfunctional teams I've ever seen in terms of not being able to handle any sort of adversity, get down by 10, 15, giving up. So it was time for a change. And the biggest thing I can say that Wade and Rondo have added to the team is accountability, which is huge. There was no accountability on the team last year. If, let's say, for example, Pau Gasol, who's notorious for being a bad pick and roll defender, there was no accountability with anybody last year. So Wade and Rondo started that from day one. First day of training camp, Rondo and Wade were stopping practices, telling guys to knock it off, stop the chit-chat, we're here to practice. That wouldn't have happened last year. So they have been huge for the young guys, but Wade in particular has been huge for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy is kind of taking a back seat and just listened to Wade. And as you guys know, Jimmy has been putting up MVP type numbers so far. So I'd say accountability has been the biggest thing that Wade and Rondo have brought to the team so far.
That sounds good. Yeah, Butler has had some offensive outbursts. He scored 40 against the Lakers Sunday. This month alone, he had a 35-point, 37, and 39-point game. He's just going off. What have you seen from him offensively that's enabled this growth? You talked about Wade's influence. Also, how has he adapted? It seems like he's getting infinitely better on offense every single season.
You know, Jimmy is crazy. I mean, this guy came into the league as a defensive stopper, averaged 2 points per game his first year. He's got to be one of the most hardest working players, especially in the offseason. I don't know if you guys know, he trains out in San Diego, gets up at 4 a.m. every day, trains with his trainer. So I can't say enough about Jimmy. I think the biggest thing with him, guys, is that he's just having fun this year. I think last year, there was just so much dysfunction on the team with Jimmy calling Fred out publicly to the Chicago media, to Jimmy and Joakim having their beef behind the scenes. I mean, there was just so much going on. And I think last year was kind of the first year Jimmy dealt with adversity in the NBA, you know, signing a max contract and being a 20-point scorer in the league. And he just looks so much different. He's smiling. He loves having Wade on the team. And I mean, like you said, he's putting up MVP type numbers. I mean, he leads the league in win shares right now at 3.8. averaging 26 points per game. I mean, player efficiency rating close to 30. I mean,
he's really shooting almost 43% from three, too. Last year, he was at 31%. I mean, he's had some seasons in the NBA where he's been making threes, but never at this clip. Are you surprised at all, or with how he's developed his outside shot, or purely because of how hard of a worker he is, does it not really surprise you that much?
It doesn't surprise me at all, man. This guy, again, he has to be one of the most hardest working players in the offseason. If you follow him on Twitter, Instagram, it's just straight up work, work, work. And he's never been a really good outside shooter, but I think last year, you know, he had that knee injury, if you guys recall, and then that kind of affected, you know, his legs, didn't really have a lot of lift on his shot. So, yeah, I mean, he's just playing at an unbelievable level right now, and I like how he's not settling for the three. Settled for a lot of threes last year, did too much isolation last year. I think having Rondo now, Rondo's, you know, a pass-first point guard where Derek was a shoot-first point guard, I think that's also helping Jimmy out as well.
How would you assess the depth and talent level on the bench for the Bulls, though? It seems like at least the offense and shooting is there with guys like Mirotić, McDermott, Cannon, all of whom we'll talk about in depth later. But other than that, is there much there on the bench?
You know, the bench is definitely a weak point, especially right now. I mean, McDermott's still out with the concussion. Carter Williams is out for another 4 to 6 weeks with the bone chip in his wrist. And, you know, Mirotić, I mean, this guy can be, you know, a great player one night and then one of the worst players in the league the next night. So, I mean, it's a very shaky bench. I think that's why you've seen Hoiberg kind of ride his starters a lot. And I don't know if you guys watched the game against the Nuggets last week.
I saw part of it, that big run in the second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bulls bench. The Bulls bench gave up a 22-0 run to the Nuggets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to trust the bench when they do that, and it's not like the Nuggets are a great offensive team. So they need a little work. Wouldn't be surprised if guard packs are on the phones trying to make some trades, see what the market's like. But the starting five is pretty solid, and it's keeping them in a lot of games. But I definitely agree. The bench is definitely one of the weak points of the team.
Yeah, I mean, the starting five, I think, especially Dwayne Wade this season, he's joined in on the three-point revolution that we seem to be seeing around the NBA. Like, you're seeing guys like Marc Gasol put up more threes this season than the rest of his career combined. Wade is returning to his previous career high in terms of attempts per game. He's already shot more three-point attempts this season than all of last season, and he's shooting them well too. What effect do you think that has for him and what it means for the offense?
You know, I'm actually one of the only people not surprised by D-Wade shooting the three again. You know, in Miami, you know, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they actually told D-Wade not to shoot the three out there. Not that he couldn't shoot it, it's just a kind of ruin the flow of their offense over there, especially, you know, when LeBron and Chris Bosh were there. But yeah, I'm not surprised at all. He's already made 20 threes this year. Like you said, he's attempting about four a game. I think the biggest thing is, guys, is that day one training camp, Hoiberg gave him the green light. He said, you can shoot the three whenever you want. And D-Wade's a scorer. You guys know how scorers are mentally. If a coach tells him to give him the green light, it's pretty much done from there. So not surprised at all. I don't think it's going to last just because I don't think he's got the legs to do that all year. But yeah, it's been a pleasant surprise for a lot of people, but I'm honestly not that surprised. Once I heard Hoiberg giving him the green light first day of training camp, I knew it was going to be a fun year for D-Wade.
And something also that's been a trend for D-Wade these last few seasons, possibly related to him shooting more outside, is that he's seems to be getting to the line a little bit less recent seasons. Do you think that's sort of a reflection of his role evolving and going to that outside shot a bit more? Or is that maybe a conscious decision to preserve his body by being a little bit less aggressive, driving into the paint or something?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, the wear and tear on his body, you know, 13 seasons of being, you know, the main guy in Miami. But, you know, I think just having Jimmy on the team, you know, he knows that Jimmy's the guy. You know, first day, his opening press conference, he said, this is Jimmy Butler's team. And I think that was huge for everybody. You know, last thing we need is for Now, we already had Derek and Jimmy not being able to play with each other. The last thing we need is Butler and Wade not being able to play with each other. So I think that was great by Wade to be the mentor for Jimmy. And, yeah, I think the jump shots are just, you know, everything's coming within the flow of the offense. No one's forcing anything. D-Wade's getting really good open looks, so why not shoot that when he's wide open?
As you mentioned before, Rajon Rondo is definitely a pass-first point guard, but he's had points in his career where he's so afraid to shoot that he'll pass up wide open looks. It doesn't seem like he's doing that so much this year, but he's only shooting 36.6% so far. Is that worrisome for you, or do you think it doesn't really matter so much since it's not his main role?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys watched the Philadelphia game a couple of days ago. There was a play where Rondo was wide open for a three, and he was actually like jumping up and calling for the ball, and everybody in the Chicago media got a kick out of that. You know, like you said, Rondo's always been a putrid shooter, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know, he's not here to score. You know, he's averaging 7 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. It's pretty much what everybody predicted him to do. His leadership and him being vocal on the floor has been his biggest attribute to the team. You know, Hoiberg's kind of a nonchalant coach. You know, he sits down the whole game. He's pretty quiet. And Rondo's very loud. He's the coach on the floor. And that's been huge for guys like Jimmy and Doug and Bobby Portis when he gets in there. So he's been a decent addition to the team. Again, I don't think his shooting is that worrisome, but the floor spacing definitely is not at its best when he's out there.
Yeah, he's definitely contributed passing and rebounding, and his leadership, as you said, has been amazing. But his defense has been terrible so far. The Bulls' defense seems to be playing way better when Rondo's not on the floor. What do you think about his defense so far?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, and that's kind of been the talk in the Chicago media is, supposed to get Rondo here for his defense and being a pest on that end of the floor. And yeah, like you said, I mean, the Bulls defense has been sort of the middle of the pack, but they've been awful when he's been on the floor, which is surprising, but I don't see that lasting. You know, you just got to look at his track record, and against the Clippers, even though the Bulls lost that game, he was hounding Chris Paul the whole game. I think his defense will pick up. He's quietly dealing with an ankle injury that he's not really talking about, so that might be contributing to it. But the concern level for him, defense, it's not too high just because you just got to look at his track record, and he's a pretty good defender at his position.
Yeah, aside from Rondo, who else needs to improve on the defensive end, and who stepped up?
Well, the biggest problem with the Bulls, guys, is that their two best perimeter shooters, Nikola Mirotic and Doug McDermott, are also the two worst defenders on the team. And that's never a good thing. Doug is getting better at that end of the floor. He worked out with Jimmy Butler this summer. But his lateral movement, guys, it's on a high school level. I mean, when opposing teams see Doug McDermott in the game, they're going at him right away. Like right away, because you score 3 or 4 buckets in a row on Doug, what is Hoiberg going to do? He's going to have to take Doug out. And then you just eliminated one of the Bulls' best shooters. So he's got a lot of work to do on the defensive end. Mirotić is the same. He's putrid on that end of the floor. Teams just go at him at will. And he's a huge flopper as well. So that's another issue. But those two really have to get better on the defensive end if they want to get valuable playing time, especially if the Bulls are able to make it to the playoffs. I mean, playoffs, as you guys know, the game slows down. It's defense wins championships, and it's just never a good thing to have your two best shooters to be your two worst defenders as well. So you just got to hope that they get better on that end, but so far they've really struggled at that end of the floor.
Yeah, given those two guys' defensive issues and as Joshua mentioned, Rondo's apparent struggles on that end, they're ranked right now 10th, according to NBA.com's defensive rating. And I think that after the Philadelphia game, they jumped from 15th to 10th. There's a lot of teams kind of bunched up. But is that promising for you to see right now that they're ranked 10th? Kind of like I said, they've been in the middle, but not bad, right?
You know what a difference has been Robin Lopez. He's been really good at the weak side help defense. Like I said last year, Pau Gasol didn't have any aspirations of any help side defense. So Robin Lopez has been a huge steal, you know, to get him in the Derrick Rose trade. I mean, you look at his contract, I don't know what he's making, but you look at what some of these other guys are making, his contract is actually a steal. I mean, it's actually a better offensive player than I thought, you know, and the Bulls are actually running plays for him on offense, which is kind of funny to see. And he had a game this year against Miami where he had like 20 shot attempts and everybody was like, that's crazy. So he's been a big surprise, very active, physical guy, you know, 7-footer, and he's very tough guy. You're not going to out-tough this guy. And he's been a really, really good guy for that defense and does a nice job of bailing out Rondo when he just is not in the mood to play defense. So he's been a big surprise, and I definitely think the Bulls coaching staff is happy with his play so far.
Yeah, I think he's also not done bad offensively. He seems like a lot of people forget about his offense because he's such a solid defensive player. But sometimes he's able to make that mid-range shot, but he's just solid for 10 points per game, it seems like. Denzel Valentine, though, a really slow start. I'm encouraged that his playing time has increased as of late, especially over the most recent 6 games. I know you were surprised to a certain extent that their lottery draft pick from Michigan State wasn't really playing that much. Do you see him continuing to get more playing time? And as that happens, do you think that his shot will start to come around?
I do. I do see his minutes going up. You know, he's only at 10 minutes per game right now. I think the biggest thing, guys, with him is he missed all preseason. You know, he sprained his ankle in the first game of the preseason and then missed the rest of it. And for a rookie, you know, that's huge. Miss your first training camp and learning how different the game is from college to the NBA. So I think his timing and rhythm were thrown off. But yeah, I do expect him to play more. He's just too smart of a player to not get minutes. You know, he 4-year college guy, you know, gives the Bulls another ball handler, playmaker in the backcourt, plays good defense. I think his shooting will go up, but he's just got to get his confidence back. I mean, he had a great summer league. He hit the game winner in the summer league to give the Bulls a championship, and he's shown flashes, but I think the ankle injury in the preseason really threw things off for him because, I mean, he missed the whole preseason, and it was the first time he told reporters this was like the longest I've been out. So for a young guy coming to the league, I think that threw his rhythm off. But I think as the season progresses and Hoiberg starts to trust him a little bit more, you know, I had Valentine being the Bulls' sixth man this year, first guy off the bench. I think he can still get that role as the season goes on.
That's high praise for a rookie. And Michael Carter-Williams is another guy that, when healthy, could be huge off the bench. Unfortunately, yeah, he's injured for a while now, and we'll see when they reevaluate him on December 7th how much longer that is. Probably not this calendar year, it's looking like. But what's your assessment of that trade, the Tony Snell for MCW one?
Great trade. Tony Snell, in his 3 years with the Bulls, showed some promise, but never made gradual improvement. And it was time. You know, he's doing well in Milwaukee now. I see everything with Snell is about confidence. You know, he's had games where he scored 20, 25 points because he shoots without hesitation. So I think he has a bright future in Milwaukee. But yeah, it was a good trade. I mean, MCW 6'7" point guard, great defender. You could put him in the post to get easy baskets. And then when you put him out there with Jimmy, D. Wade, Rondo, and Gibson, I mean, that's a really good defensive unit out there. And it's tough to see him with this injury right now. He got hurt a third game of the year with the knee injury, and they just had an MRI, like you said, on his wrist. He's got a bone chip in his wrist, so he's looking at another 4 to 6 week absence. So it's tough. You know, Isaiah Cannon, the Bulls backup point guard, he's a shoot first point guard, so that's not ideal. You know, you'd like to have MCW in there to create for other guys. But hopefully, you know, he comes back. And yeah, I see him being one of the first guys off the Bulls bench as well.
With that injury, though, Isaiah Cannon's gotten more playing time. I thought maybe Jerian Grant would. Now he's been sent down to the D League. He only really got minutes when Rondo was sidelined. So I think that's disappointing. He's looked good defensively, and And I thought they did pretty well, but it's a small sample size, of course, when Grant was playing. With Cannon, mm-hmm. you have more of a shoot-first point guard. He's been good from long range in his short career. But do you see his minutes diminishing a lot once Carter Williams returns?
Yeah, I do. You know, Cannon's a very hot and cold player. He's been like that his whole career. He needs other players, you know, to give him the ball. You know, he created his own shot from time to time, but his shot selection is kind of poor. But yeah, I expect his minutes to go down when MCW gets back, and I expect Jaren Grant to be called back up. He had 34 last night for the Windy City Bulls, the Bulls Development League team, and I know Hoiberg and the Bulls staff really like his upside, so I expect him to be back up pretty soon. I think they just wanted to send him down to get his confidence back up a little bit. But yeah, to your question, I definitely see Cannon's minutes going down when MCW comes back.
You talked earlier about Mirotić. What you seem to get from him is just like a plus shooter, a bad defender. Seems like he's settling into his role on the bench. Do you think that's the best place for him right now, just providing some offensive firepower there? And also, would you say what you see right now is what you get essentially from Mirotić at this stage, or do you think there's more room for development for him?
Yeah, Mirotić is one of the biggest teases in the NBA. His rookie year, he led the league in fourth quarter scoring in the month of March at around 20 points per game. When he gets into a rhythm, guys, I mean, this guy is one of the best shooters in the game. But his problem is, one, his shot selection, and two, his confidence. He sometimes thinks he's Stephen Curry. He shoots some of the longest threes I've ever seen, and they're just horrible shots. And it just throws off the rhythm of the offense. It ruins his confidence, and he really needs to improve on his shot selection. This is a guy who was MVP in the Spanish league for a reason. And I think he's not even close to his potential. I think this guy can be a good player, but he needs to hit the weight room. He's very small in the upper body. Teams eat him in the post, and he needs to use his size more. He needs to go in the post. He can shoot over anybody. He needs to stop relying on the three a lot. And even though he can shoot that, he needs to get better shots. So I think the biggest thing with him is confidence and shot selection. If he can improve that, I think this guy can be a borderline all-star for the Bulls.
His decision-making, as you said, it seems like it leaves a decent amount to be desired at this stage. But the guy starting in front of him, Taj Gibson, he's been with the team for a while now. It seemed like every season before this, he was sort of fighting for that starting role with a lot of depth around him in the front court. This season, it seems like he's firmly established himself as a starter. How do you think he is in that role with the rest of the starters?
Yeah, Taj is a model of consistency. You always know what you're going to get from him. Guy made the ultimate sacrifice for the last few years coming off the bench, even though everybody knows he wanted to start. But he's just the ultimate pro, guys. I mean, he does everything that you ask him to do. And he's the team's best low post defender, better than Lopez. And I know it hurt him to see Joakim and Derek gone because those were his brothers, but he's playing great. He's averaging 12 points, 8 rebounds. A little more space for him to operate in the post now that Pau and Joakim are gone. And Hoiberg's doing a good job of, you know, giving him his touches down there. But yeah, every team needs a Taj Gibson. I mean, this guy is just great in the locker room and just does everything you ask him to do. And, you know, he said the other day that, you know, this Bulls team is like one of the best teams he's been on chemistry-wise. And I think that goes back to D-Wade. You know, D-Wade's just bringing everybody together. If you follow him on Snapchat, every time he puts a snap, Jimmy's in there or one of his teammates is in there. So it's been a good start so far for the Bulls this year.
The new players seem to be acclimating, and the team overall seems to be playing a lot better. The Bulls have won 7 of their past 10 games. What do you expect out of them going forward?
Something between 4 and 6 seed in the East. But here's the thing, guys. The Bulls started out hot last year as well. you know, they had a similar record through, what is it, 18 games or something they've played, or 16, sorry. And then they just fell off. I'm not saying it's going to happen again because I think this team is different. You know, I think they can handle adversity, but I think this team's character will be tested once they start losing a couple games. I mean, that's what happened last year. And the big thing last year was the Bulls got blown out by the Knicks and Butler called out Hoiberg publicly, and that's it. The season was pretty much over after that. They just went into a huge slump. So I think it's still early. I mean, 16 games is nothing. They haven't really played. I think the best teams they've played so far this year are the Clippers. They lost to them. They beat the Celtics. They haven't played the Cavs yet. They haven't played the Raptors yet. They lost to the Knicks. So I think the jury's still out. But overall, I definitely think the locker room is a lot better than last year. And that's the main part.
And thanks again for joining us, Ashish. It's been great. Just one last question for you. 9 of the next 12 contests for the Bulls are going to come at the United Center.
Yeah.
How do you think that can help them?
Yeah, this is a huge stretch for the Bulls, guys, because they had a lot of road games to start the year. And that was good for them, too, to see if they could handle adversity and push through it. But, yeah, these next home games are huge because a lot of below 500 teams are going to come into the United Center, and the Bulls struggled with below 500 teams for whatever reason last year. So got to start the home cooking and get some early wins. And I think they play the Cavs next week, so that'll be a good test for them. But, yeah, they definitely have to protect home court. And I see them winning a handful of these games. I think they've definitely turned a corner. They went 4-2 on their circus road trip. So I think you're going to start to see the Bulls play some really good basketball coming up. But again, I think the jury is still out. I think we have to see how they handle adversity, you know, how Wade plays on back-to-backs. And the biggest thing is Butler and Hoiberg. What is their relationship really like? It was really bad last year. They worked on it this summer. It appears to be a little bit better this year, but I think that relationship will really be tested once adversity and losing starts to happen, if it does happen. So yeah, let's see what happens with them. But it's definitely a good start, and I can tell you one thing, the fans are definitely relieved to see some of that turmoil and dysfunction gone from last year.
Yeah, so many fascinating storylines to watch in Chicago this season. We'll have to wait and see. Thanks again, Ashish.
Oh, absolutely. No problem, guys.